Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the third and final conference call. It's my pleasure to introduce your host, Rob Colasanti, to get things started.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to day three and the conclusion of the Ultimate Martial Arts Teleconference Series with Jay Abraham, the number one marketing genius in America. What can I say, folks? Taking these three marketing classes with Jay is comparable to taking three semi-private martial arts classes with someone of Bruce Lee's caliber. We're very fortunate to share in this experience. So I remind you to pay very close attention and take copious notes throughout today's seminar. Here now is our expert presenter, the one and only Jay Abraham.
Thanks, Rob, and thank you for the very gracious analogy. I don't know that that's I can live up to that, but I will try. First of all, everybody, I want to make a couple of what I'll call philosophical house cleaning comments. Number one, Rob and I, just like I hope you and your team do every time we do a session, every time I do anything, I've learned long ago to debrief, to examine what you did that was most effective, what you did that was least effective, what you did that had the most room for improvement, what you did that needs embellishment or closure. And I hope you guys do that with everything you do, and you don't just do it and it's static. And Rob pointed out that he thought yesterday was a very impactful day for a lot of you, and that you got a lot of clarity. However, I was going through my list so fast that you couldn't get all the points made, and I apologize. I usually do 36 hours, 86 hours, you know, 8 intense hours privately, or a lifetime with a client. And so, trying to transform a very pliable and deserving martial arts professional in all of three 90-minute sessions is quite a challenge, and so I'm trying to move fast. So what I'd rather do than go back and review them, because that'll burn up critical time I think is necessary to tie it all together and to take you to the next level of understanding, I told Rob I will furnish a number of files that he will post that you can download. The only stipulation, and I like the fact that you are men and women of supreme integrity and ethics, I do not give you these for distribution to anyone else outside of your internal staff. They are my gift, my investment in you to give us more leverage from these calls. So I'm going to put up the 93 referrals in written form. I'm going to put up the models of crafting direct response. I'm going to put up 35 formulas for writing headlines with examples. I'm going to put up 100 of the greatest headlines of all times for you to model. Rob, is there anything else I promised?
Did you mention the 93 referral systems?
I did indeed.
We're good.
Okay, so let me tell you what today is going to entail, because I like people being in the moment. And in fact, you know what? I'm not going to tell you yet. I'm going to read something to you. I was going through my copy of How to Win Friends and Influence People and getting excited for each and every one of you, and I saw in the very opening, there's a preceding, it's not really a chapter, but it's called 9 Suggestions. And they're pretty cool. They're pretty cool. And I went through them and I marked the suggestions that are universal, that first and foremost would mirror what I would say to you about what you have experienced and what you will experience today, but that you can also use in your own teachings, in your own training, in your own perpetual work with the students and their families. So I'm going to read some of these to you just to think about. Very obvious, but if they're not acted on, the obvious is very profound in its utter simplicity. And I'm skipping over the ones that are just so evident that it's not worth it. The first one is ask yourself just how and when you can apply each suggestion. Now, I have been involved for 25 years, not only with my own trainings, but helping 300 of the world's premier experts, Tony Robbins, Brian Tracy, Nightingale Conant, Tom Hopkins, I mean, on and on and on and on. And what I've learned is most people think they can sit there, listen, or take notes one time, never review them, never really work on them, never really integrate them, and then all of a sudden by either some amazing quirk of fate or by divine intervention, they're going to be transformed. Rob, it's like saying, I'm going to give you a fast short course for 90 minutes in the ins and outs, the moves and maneuvers, the strategy and methodology of whatever martial arts category, you know, taekwondo, jiu-jitsu, whatever, and you're going to become a quadruple grandmaster overnight just through aspiration. Now, that does happen often, doesn't it, Rob?
Never, Jay.
No. So ask yourself how and when you can apply each idea, each suggestion. You can't do that unless you're very clear on what those suggestions are. You can't do that unless you review. And Rob pointed out that my gift might be my bane. I've covered so many wonderful, simple, but integrated and powerfully different perspectives on business, on your perp, your higher, what I call higher causal purpose, the cause that is the purpose by which you should live and execute your life's work, that it may be daunting, and that even if somebody was taking copious, just wildly great notes, you wouldn't have caught a fraction of a fraction. So I said to Rob, even though it was not, I think, promised, pardon me, I hope my voice doesn't go early, Rob, or we're in trouble. I'll have to do it silently, and you'll have to read my mind. But we want to gift to you from NAPMA a set of the CDs, even if you were on the live program, because we want to make sure that the effort that I made, Rob made, and you made is fully maximized. And what I would say to you in exchange for that, I expect you to listen to these CDs not once or twice, but at least every month until you think you've got them down with proficiency. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So the first thing is ask yourself just how and when you can apply each suggestion. The next, this is a great quote. The rapidity with which we forget is astonishing. When I do an expensive training program, we typically give somebody, we will not do a program unless we record it. You pay $25,000, you pay $15,000. I won't do it unless I record it, and oftentimes I actually transcribe it. Why? Because at a typical boring lecture-based event, the research is you'll retain 9%. That's if it's very logical. At my kind, where your brain is shooting off and ideas are popping and your mind is tripping out, you know, on tangents, you're not hearing three-quarters of what I said, or you are hearing it, but at this particular point in your school or your own personal, let's say, progress or evolution, you don't see the relevancy, whereas within a matter of months, if you start really applying this, all of a sudden, something that I may have said that doesn't seem at all important to then could make you double, triple your income or four or five times your success if you remembered it. So I've decided we're going to give you these CDs, but you got to listen to them because you'll only retain at best 5-7% of what we've covered if you do it on your own. And that's if you review reasonably. But I want you to review. I want this to be your mantra, like somebody who's you know, devoted to the Bible and reads it every day. I learned my ply my profession by studying about 20 great masters, and I read their work and studied their work and analyzed their work, both their writings and their production, their ads, their letters, their marketing campaigns. Not one or two or three, but over 50 times each, 5-0. And I want to keep coming back. Everything I am teaching, you all already know because it's what you teach, isn't it, Rob?
Very similar, Jay.
And again, like as I said, if I start today as a white belt, you know, beginner, and you explain everything to me, and I shake my head because I intellectually grasp it. There's no way in heaven I can do anything meaningful and major, even if I'm gifted and talented, unless I practice, gain proficiency, and keep moving on. A friend of mine said, and again, it may not be exactly true, but I think it's very relevant. In martial arts, there's only 12, 15 moves that everybody makes, but the difference between a white belt and a 28th degree black belt, if there's such a thing, is the proficiency, is the discipline, is the experience, is the integration of it all. And that's all this is. There's a very few number of key elements I'm trying to teach you. But if you want, every time you revisit them, every time you work on your proficiency, you'll go higher and deeper and better and richer. The next thing, the use of these principles can be made habitual only by a constant and vigorous campaign of review and application. There is no other way, and I'm sure it's the same with you. If I go and take an immersion 3-month course and get pretty good and then don't visit it again, am I going to be great a year or two from then, Rob?
Never, Jay. You got to practice it every day.
I had, and you guys may, I know you're all athletes and jocks or very dedicated to physical achievement. I had as my client back in the heydays of the Los Angeles Laker, Rick Fox, when he was really great. I mean, he's still a fine gentleman, but he was great back in the early days when they were getting the championship. And I remarked with amazement that every day they weren't practicing, he would get up at 7 o'clock, he would go to a private gym, he would shoot baskets from 100 different places around the gymnasium. Each and every day he wasn't in practice. He never let off, even on weekends. Now, if somebody who's already considered an absolute pro keeps revisiting and refining so he can get better and at least keep his edge or her edge, you got to do that in marketing too. It's no different. It's exactly the same, and it should demystify it. The good news about marketing, as I said, it is a science. It is not an art. Does that mean you'll be as good as I am? Maybe not. But it doesn't mean you couldn't be better. But it's like martial arts. Everybody won't be great, but everyone will get better if they keep practicing. Next. If you teach a man anything, he will never learn. Learning is an active process. We learn by doing. I don't want you to take what I've taught you the last 2 days and what I will conclude with today and think it is something that you can just keep reading and listening to and it will, through osmosis, translate to action. There's only one way to produce action, and that's to act. That means you take it off the page of the notes, you take it out of your ears, and you systematically start, as I said, 2 days in a row, with those things that are the easiest, they cost nothing, they take little time, and you test, and you see how much better they work. And when they work better, you start making that a regular, ongoing, continuous, systematic part of your master strategy. Am I loud enough that everybody can hear, Rob?
Very good, Jay.
Okay. The next thing is only knowledge that is used sticks in your mind. And I would urge you guys to take everything I'm reading right here and sharing and talking about and appropriating it for yourself, because you can use the very same language and message to parents, to students, to people thinking about leaving. Don't you think, Rob?
I do, Jay. Very much. It's very motivational.
Yeah. You're not really trying to acquire information. You're attempting to form new life habits. And yes, you're attempting a new way of life. Remember that. Think about it. It's very exciting, but I'm going to get into something in a little while that's going to show you how you've got to be the leader and the authority and the guiding force forever for everybody, not just the students in your school, but the community. And you got to be able to pick up the gauntlet of responsibility and exercise it with full commitment and passion. Make a lively game out of mastering these rules. It's probably no different than you would have the students do if you really are in love with the students. Okay, those are my prefacing comments. Now, here's what I'm going to do for the rest of this session. We're going to do a little review. Then we're going to do an analysis of the opportunities you have in leveraging about 4 elements of your school. Then we're going to learn in a detailed manner the thing I introduced yesterday, the strategy of preeminence. Then we're going to look at how to leverage yourself, whether you're best doing it through other people, whether you're best doing it through reallocating your time, what your real purpose on this earth, in this community, in this profession should be if you really want to assume your role and your destiny. Then we're going to talk about processes, procedures, and systems. In the discussion, I'm going to dissect for you for once and for all the difference between process training and event training, and I'm going to show you why it will transform your marketing and thus your business or financial success, but also how you can use it in your own training. Then we're going to talk about reverse goal setting, which means you can't get what you want if you don't know what it is, and if you know what it is, you can't get it if you don't have a plan to get there and you don't measure it and monitor at intervals. And Rob, I'm going to take a daring shot and chance here and say, in martial arts, at certain intervals, you get tested, don't you?
You get tested constantly, Jay.
And why should your marketing and your business revenue generating be any different?
It shouldn't be.
But it is, and that's what I want to show you. You guys have got such a great advantage, and girls, you already know it. You already teach it. You already live it. All you have to do is translate it to the business building side, and you know, and you're going to be an unstoppable force of compound growth each and every year. The next thing we're going to talk about is strategic alliances. I'm going to introduce a little more about barter, and then we're going to do something really wonderful at the end. And depending on my voice and depending upon my energy, I'm going to do an opening at the end that's going to give each and every one of you no less than 20 times, I'm going to talk about instant leverage, 20 times greater payoff for this 3 days than you ever imagined. Now, can I do that in 2 hours? Maybe, maybe not, but I'm going to do the best I can, and if I don't, I will provide Rob with other documents to post so I honor my commitment. Is that fair, Rob?
I think it's more than fair, Jay. Let's get rolling.
Okay, so just a quick review of the last 2 days. Marketing is the ultimate leverage. It's the difference between mediocrity and millions. You've got as many as 30 impact points of leverage. Each one can be improved between 20% and 20 times. You've got to figure out what a student is worth to you and a lead, and they are not all worth the same. You've got to know your marginal net worth, lifetime value, and convert that to an allowable cost you can then invest, not spend, for an outcome. That investment can be made in more advertising, in greater sales commission, in lowering the price and the barrier of entry. It can be made in adding more products, services, bonuses to the package to make it more desirable. The next thing we learned was taking away the risk makes it easier for people to say yes than no. And I urged you to read those 502 case studies because 25% of them doubled or tripled their success just by learning better ways of using risk reversal. We talked about the 3-way to grow a business and that the hardest, the most expensive, the most time-consuming was bringing people in. Once you had them, it cost you very little to sell them more, sell them again, get all those ancillary and additional progressive revenue streams going. We talked about starting where you were already at and what would cost you nothing, and we reverse engineered it. First, your active students, then their parents for referrals, then for upselling other programs on a systematic, continuous basis, then to the inactive past ones, then to the unclosed leads, then to the parents who had associations. We talked about commonalities. I talked a little bit about strategic alliances, but I'll talk more about that. We talked about ROI. We talked about parlaying, that the way to grow without any risk or effort was to start with those 4 or 5 no-cost ways. Every time they produced 20, 30, 40, you know, to $2,000, $4,000, $10,000, not to buy a plasma TV, but use it to fund a new marketing test or use it to fund one more salesperson that you could either put on the phone or put into certain categories, like going out in the community doing fundraisers or going out in the communities doing strategic alliances or all of the above. What else did I talk about, Rob?
off the top of my head, Jay, that was a lot. You could choke a horse with all the information.
Okay, so now today we're going to start by looking at leverage again. We're going to repeat certain things. We're going to review. I want you to look at all the areas you have in your business. Oh, we also talked about not just three, but that you need to build a power Parthenon, that it is shamefully unacceptable. Oh, we talked about tactics and strategy, and it's totally it's non-strategic, it's tactical, it's episodic, to do things occasionally and depend on one singular form of revenue or marketing approach to drive your business. That's how you're going to be. You're limited to incremental or linear growth. If you want exponential or limitless growth, You got to let the power of geometry work, and that's building a power of Parthenon and going at the market from many different ways. And I gave you a few, but I also sent you early, if you read it, a 20-page document called The Power of Parthenon, and it demonstrated it and gave you a lot of ideas. Okay, so today we're going to look at another form of leverage. We're going to break apart your school, your day, your time, and show you all the levers. And by the way, I'm going to calculate this for you, and it's going to blow your mind. I don't care if you only make $10,000 a year part-time or you make $100,000. We should be doubling and redoubling and probably doubling again your income within 15 months, comma, if you can act on what I've taught. If you can't, you know, shame on you, because it's easier, more joyous, far more predictable, far more safe, secure, and fulfilling than worrying week to week, day to day about where in the world the next money's going to come to pay your overhead. So let's look at your business or your school in a couple ways. Where are your leverage points? First, we've already said in your current, in your what I call the activities in process, in the ads you already work, you can probably make better headlines, better offers, test those and make them pull, you know, 20% to 20 times better. Then in the lead process that you deal with when they come in. Check, testing different approaches, different scripts. I gave you the example of the furniture store yesterday or the day before. Next, in follow-up on a sequential period. Next, in when you bring them in, programming them for the future. Next, at systematic times, programming them up. Next is contacting them constantly at home so that you keep the relationship. Next is doing formalized referral-generating programs. Next is keep adding one new marketing approach each and every blank, whatever it is easiest to do, with the effort and the activity being funded by parlaying the no-cost activities that you improve upon. If you make an ad that was pulling $1,000, pull three, you've just freed up $2,000 that you can reinvest. And you got to look at it as investment. You got to look at it as ROI, return on investment. If every time you spend a dollar, you get back three right now, and on that three, you get back 33 in the first year, and on that 33, you get back another 100 over the next 2 years, you don't want to divert that capital and that momentum and that continuity from working for you. You want the full power to work. Okay, the next leverage you've got is in your facilities. If you've got a facility that could be utilized from 8 a.m. till midnight or 10, and you're using it 3 or 4 hours, 4 days a week, then you are not optimizing. And I taught you the other day, optimization is maximum result, minimum time effort, getting the highest and best use of your time, your opportunity, your efforts, your people, your investment, your human capital, meaning all the people and your resources, your distribution channels, etc. So the first thing you have to ask is, if a class is underfilled and you have unused space, how can you get greater use out of it? Well, there's 3 or 4 approaches. Number one is calling people back who've already inquired but haven't. Maybe they took a first lesson, and re-invite them to take 2 more. What's the downside? You're filling a room, and if you did that every day and you had 2 new people every 2 weeks, you'd probably close 1. Number 2 is doing barter, and I'm going to give you a quick education in barter. And I'm going to use some reference notes, and I'll give this to Rob too to post for you. I want to give you some of the specific advantages of barter. Number one, you save cash on capital expenditures. You could make a list, and I encourage you to do this when this call is over, before you go back to the status quo, of everything in your life personally and everything in your professional life, meaning your school or your studio, that you spend money on. Advertising, painting, janitorial, a display, water service, whatever it is, and see if you can trade. You can cut your cost down, in your case, by almost 100%, because incrementally, if I was buying advertising at the – I'll give you an example. I was on the phone yesterday to the people that have the Long Beach, California American Basketball Association team, the owner's a friend of mine. He was telling me how he traded $200,000 worth of tickets to the Long Beach paper for $200,000 worth of advertising to use as he wanted. If you said every time I trade a martial arts master, black belt, I'd trade the full courses if you could. I'd trade two things. I'd go to stores and say, I'll trade you a bunch of six-month or three-month courses because two things are going to happen. Every time somebody does that, they're going to be somebody who you have a high probability of converting at the end or before to cash. Number two, if you traded somebody $10,000 worth of six-month courses, the odds of all $10,000 being redeemed, or not that you wouldn't honor it, but they just won't happen. So your $10,000 probably only cost you $7,000, but you get $10,000 worth of goods or services that you could use right away, and the cost to fulfill it if your studio or school is not working to capacity is about zero, other than the cost of the uniform and the book or the certificate or the whatever you pay a teacher per student. Does that make sense, Rob?
Jay, you're dead on the money. Throughout the years, I've seen martial arts instructors trade for new roofs, cars, Rolex watches.
And you got to believe you have value, and you got a commodity of exchange. Now, I've personally traded over $150 million. My wife has a 6-carat diamond ring I traded for. My wife has a 2-year-old red, tricked-out, $105,000 Porsche convertible that I traded for. I have a beach house that is fully furnished that I traded for. I traded a 400 radio group that owns 400 stations, $3 million worth of advertising for $3 million worth of my services years ago. When I was with Entrepreneur Magazine, we got all our advertising for free because we traded booth space. I mean, you can, but you got to be conceptual. You got to go to somebody who's got something you want, and you got to show them how to use it. You got to say, hey, here's a great way to add $100 bonus to your sale. Here's a great way to have a contest where you're giving away a $3,000 training. You got to reorient your thinking instead of giving away a one free lesson. You got to give these people and say, here's a way to reward your sales staff. The top person gets a 4-year course, and you get what you want. And it's very good for advertising. It's very good for services. The next thing is it increases your total sales. If tomorrow morning you were unfilled and you traded, let's say, 100 6-month programs every month, and that, let's say that had a face value of what, Rob, $500?
100 6-month programs? Yeah, you're probably looking at about $500 to $700 each.
Okay, so is that $50,000 to $70,000?
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
You created $50,000 worth of buying power for zero. That's sort of interesting right now. A month times 12 is $600,000, and your school may be smaller, cut in half, cut in half, cut in half again, it's still $100,000. Out of nowhere, thin air, and it's real. So let's say that you traded it to an organization that used it to add to a sales package. So somebody bought this, they got an extra $100, $800 this, or they used it for a draw, or they used it on a radio giveaway or whatever. You got what you wanted that you would never be able to afford, or if you did afford it, you had to write a check right now. You wrote nothing. Number one, you got an interest-free loan that you don't repay until they redeem all of them. Number two, you're paying for it with dollars that cost you about a penny on the dollar. Number three, the statistical probability is they'll never use all of it, although it's not your fault, so you're getting a discount, which is even better than paying cash. That's sort of interesting, isn't it, Rob?
Very interesting, and really for the school owner, it's just another human being out on the deck that needs to be tossed.
But it's another, there's one more side. At the end of a tier period of time, you're going to get renewals, you're going to get
product sales.
Yeah, let me give you the story as it was is most impressive. I told you about Carnival Cruise, and a friend of mine built them from nothing by trading all. They couldn't sell any of the in the beginning. They had no advertising. They had nobody in their rooms. They traded it for advertising, and it was like self fulfilling. But what they found was when they traded it, they charged people a $40 travel tax. That covered all the cost of food and beverage, so they had no downside. They found that of every three people that got a trade, one brought a paying person. That out of every two people that they brought in, they would make another $1,000 on gambling, on island excursions, on purchases in their shops. You got the back end because out of every blank, two, three, four, you're going to have some number that will go forward, and you're getting greater utilization. I mean, if you said to me it costs $20 an hour to have an instructor do another class, and I don't have anybody for that class, I'd say I'd go out and trade for it. Because if you traded for 30 places and it's $800, you just got yourself $24,000 worth of value, Rob. Now, there's something else. You can turn it into a profit center. You can take that value and sell it for 50 cents on the dollar to cash to somebody else who would like it and is paying for it. And you just turn maybe 2 cents worth of investment into a 25 times profit. Does that make sense, Rob?
It does, and it's so overlooked.
Well, I'm telling you guys what I did with companies that didn't have the growth they wanted but needed it, or didn't have the cash they wanted but needed it. The other thing you can do is what's called triangulation. You go to somebody who's got something desirable but that you don't need. You trade them your services, your school, your classes for theirs. Then you take that credit and you trade it again a third time for something you want. Do you understand that?
It's getting a bit complex here, Jay. Can you back up just a quick second?
Sure. Okay. I wanted about $40,000 worth of garden furniture for my backyard. I found somebody who traded me $40,000 worth of rare coins for my marketing. I took those rare coins and traded it to a garden shop owner who collected rare coins.
Perfect.
It ended up costing me just my time. And had I written a check for $40,000, I would have had to earn $60,000 because they are after-tax dollars. Do you understand that?
You can't see it, but I'm giving you a bow right now.
Okay, well, I'm going to give more. Barter lets you pay operating expenses, even payroll, with soft dollars. You can get people to do services and trade them lessons, but not trade them free lessons that are abstract. Denominate them. Say, I'm going to give you $4,000, but you're going to have to go and work 4 hours every day out in the field calling on endorsers or setting up this or setting up that or doing PR. And you denominate it. If you don't revere it, they won't. Does that make sense?
Jay, is there any taxable issues here?
There are, and you have to talk to your accountant.
Okay.
But if it's for the business, they are less. If it's for your personal use, you have to value them. And I'm not a tax accountant. Check with your accountant.
Okay.
You have to value it at fair market value or wholesale value. But it doesn't matter. If I was going to buy something and write a check for $100, and instead I can buy that for really 2 cents, and I had to pay taxes on it, I'd still buying it for half or a third of what it would have cost me. But there are very unique tax advantages that a creatively minded ethical CPA or accountant can teach you. I don't want to give tax
right.
benefits, but
right.
I did a lot of trades and it's cost me minimal. I had to pay and declare it, but minimal.
Yeah.
Next, you can print your own currency, or they call it scrip, which is usable only at your business. You can give certificates that are like scrip. You can pay bills in that. You can go, and it's only redeemable with you. I mean, I've had radio stations that traded advertising for restaurant credit, car wash, refurnishing, trips, bed and breakfasts, suits for their salespeople, contests. I mean, you go reverse it. You can be the provider of that and get what you want. Breakage. I said breakage means if tomorrow morning I traded you 500 sets of my $5,000 tape program that you could give to your business clients. Well, first of all, that cost me, the hard cost to send it out is about $30, but it sells for $5,000. So I've just bought $5,000 worth of value times whatever I said, 500 for about is it 1% or is it 1/10 of 1%? Doesn't matter. Second, I would get what I wanted right now from you, but I would say you can use you can have 2 years to send it out. The statistical probability of you sending all 500 out are very low, and even if you do, it's going to be worth. You know, a dollar today, there's no interest charge. If I spend a dollar in 2 years, it's going to be worth less than a dollar a day. Does that make sense?
It does.
Dollars become worth less.
Yeah, and martial arts instructors are just providing a service. There's no real hard cost like in a television or something. It's
yeah.
a service.
It's exactly. You have the greatest leverage. cash conversion. As I said, I'll give you an example. Years ago, I worked for a travel magazine. It was called Holiday Magazine. We had pages in our magazine that sold for $10,000 a piece for color. We weren't doing that well, so we had a lot of pages we didn't sell. The hard cost to us, and you're a publisher, Rob, you may sell an ad for $20,000, but your hard cost because of the economies of scale to put out 100 pages may only cost you $500, right?
It's a whole lot less, yeah.
So you got maybe a 10 times markup.
Yeah.
We would take pages we couldn't sell. We would trade them to advertisers that had desirable trips, hotel accommodations, airlines, cameras, the like, and then we would take those merchandise and resell it to somebody else for 50 cents on the dollar. Now, why that was exciting was we would take advertising we couldn't sell. Advertising that if we could sell it cost us 10 cents on the dollar. We would trade it for 100% value. We would sell that for 50 cents, but 50 cents was five times what it cost us. But it gets even better. We would trade it immediately. We would convert it for cash immediately, but the ads wouldn't run for 2 or 3 months. So we got paid 3 months early, which is pretty interesting, Rob. Does this give you some ideas?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can create a barter profit center. The really smart people in the service business have full or part-time people that all day long they trade because they're creating all these things, more buying power, a flow of new people that at the end of 6 months or a year convert, referrals come from them, upgrades come from them, other family and friends come from them. Home Shopping Network, you know what that is, right?
Yeah, they're right here in our backyard.
Okay, well, they started. The guy that started, who's a great J. Abraham zealot and endorsed my book, he had a radio station. They couldn't sell any advertising. All he could do is trade. He would trade to a hardware store for can openers and drills, and then he had to figure out how to convert them. So he created a two-hour-long show on weekends where he auctioned off that merchandise he traded for, and it paid the rent. And it got so much popularity that he converted the whole station to that, and then he bought a cable network.
Huh.
You can vastly expand your available advertising budget. If you could go to every radio station, every newspaper, every yellow page, and they're not all going to do it, but every marginal, it doesn't matter if it's a marginal publication now, if you're trading intangible, you could have 10 times the advertising. And even the advertising, even if the market was marginal, the cumulative effect of seeing your ads, the cumulative effect of the pure force and magnitude is pretty cool, Rob.
Yeah, and yesterday you talked about the power of creating PR within your community, and I imagine once you do that, bartering with people in the community is going to be a whole lot easier.
Yeah, I mean, you can trade for ads, or you can trade it and say, all I want are articles, so it's going to have editorial value too. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You can finance your growth rapidly without spending any cash. You know, it's a way to instantly and continuously generate a steady stream of profits above your real cost to provide it. It turns excess underused capacity into cash or the equivalent without losing regular business. It recycles dollars back to your own pockets. I mean, in other words, it all comes back to you. Instead of right now, you write a check to the radio station. If it works and gets you a couple of sales, great, but if not, it doesn't come back. Well, this way you're getting advertising, plus you're getting a bonus. Plus, you know, every dollar you're spending with them is going to come back to you. I can go on and on, but it's pretty cool, isn't it?
Very cool, Jay.
Okay, so leverage. First leverage is your marketing. Second leverage is the stuff that's going on right now, the people in your school, the past people, the inquiries you didn't convert. Okay, the next leverage is your capacity. And as I said, you could even make the case if you bartered that you could take all those, you could make your trades good. If you're sold out, how do you use it? You make it good for classes at lesser desirable hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have classes from 9 a.m. till 3, and you trade it for that. Anytime between 9 and 3 and between 9 and 10 at night. I mean, and you get somebody you pay. I mean, I'd pay $20 a class for someone to hold those because you may only have to do three of them because they may not be used for years or two.
Yeah, and I have to interject, Jay. A lot of martial arts schools really even aren't open during the day. So the space is being unutilized, but still they're paying the same amount of rent check every month.
And you purposely did that on purpose because that's the next leverage. How many other ways can you use your space? Reverse it. How many other ways can you use somebody else's space? We talked about that yesterday. If somebody else has a non-competitive activity, let's say they have evening classes in something, but they don't have any use during the day, but they have a clientele, you could move to that application. You could do a joint venture with them. We'd say, hey, you got stretch people. How'd you like to also offer them a co-branded afternoon martial arts training that we split revenue on? Because really, if all it costs you is one of your, what do you call it, your power team or whatever it is to teach
leadership
it?
Leadership team.
Yeah, to teach it, and you got to pay them $20 an hour, and they get you 10 students in that class, and those 10 students are worth $8,000 or $18,000. It seems to me, I'm not very good. Even if you split the revenue, you're going to make a lot of money, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So I'm giving you some ideas. So you leverage your facilities and other people's. Then you leverage yourself. How do you leverage yourself? This is a very tricky question, Rob. We had all this discussion with the 20 or 30 people that we pre-met with before this call to get a feel for the mindset and the issues, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And the general consensus is, in all due respect, listeners, that many of you think that marketing and management is a unfortunate necessity that is highly subordinate to teaching on the floor. I would argue with you that that attitude is erroneous. Your highest and best use should be to work on those strategic activities that are going to do the most good for the school. And if you teaching honestly can be said to do the most good, so be it. But if somebody under your instruction with you intermittently teaching courses or overseeing them could do 80 or 90% as well, and that would free you up 90% of your time to work on strategy, to work on marketing, to work on revenue generating, and that would work on your ability to impact the market and reach more people and secure more impact in the world and in the process, more security for yourself and your family and more freedom to devote to what you're doing, I would argue that you got to rethink your priorities and your leverage, Rob. Is that too abstract?
No, in fact, that's just simply the power of delegation.
And I want to share with you, because this is like bringing it all home, people. I had at one of my very successful and big seminars a very prominent expert, effectiveness coach. He worked in Silicon Valley with CEOs and professionals and venture capitalists. And his job was to give them 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 times the impact, the productivity, the success, the income. And I asked him what his secret was, and he revealed it in about 4 minutes, and I won't do as good as a justice, but I'll try to do it for you. What he said was, identify the 3 most important functions you should be doing for your school. Those functions are going to make the biggest difference in the future growth of your school. Then break those 3 functions out to their 4 or 5 key elements. Then value rank those elements on a scale of, and he had a different way of saying it, but I would say either passion and dispassion or incompetence and brilliance. And he said, if you go from terrible to bad, there's no leverage in it. If you go from good to brilliant, the leverage is geometric. He said most people fixate on doing the books and managing the bank deposits and doing a lot of things which, if you have controls and auditing, can be done 95% as well by somebody else, freeing up that very precious hour a day, 5 hours a week, times maybe 4 functions, 50 hours, for you to work on far more important elements. When I don't remember what Watson's first name, the man that created IBM in the beginning, created IBM, he didn't spend time, day-to-day doing. He spent time masterminding the strategy, orchestrating the relationships, building out the sales presentation, refining the image, putting it all together so he had time to be omni-strategic. And they did have a couple of years of problem, but they soared to the greatest, most dominant force in the world, and they held it for a long time because that was his intent. He spent the time on those activities that delivered the maximum, not just current, but ongoing, compounding, perpetual, recurring, residual effect. Rob, I want to stop. Am I being clear?
You're suggesting that instructors find other people to do the low-return activities, and they focus in on the high-return activities that really bring home the bacon.
And they see themselves that the only leverage you have, everybody, is to become great marketers. And becoming a great marketer is not an intimidating, awkward, it's being a great educator. It's being a great leader. It's being a great transformer. It's being a great contributor. It's being a great agent of change in your community, but doing it through recurring, very powerful, very systematic processes that get multiplied. Just like if I just had one move and you attacked me and all I could use was, I don't know what you call it, from the top down at a diagonal angle, a right hand, open-handed smack, and that's the only move I had, unless I was pretty damn effective and lucky on my first hit, I'd be in trouble, wouldn't I, Rob?
I think you'd get killed, Jay.
Well, do you think that a business is any different? And what, truthfully, I would say to most of you, in all due respect and with love and admiration, that you're probably lucky for the mere force of your dedication, your purposeful intent, and your passion. You're doing okay or well, but you could be instantly, and I mean not necessarily in a day, but in a matter of 3-6 months, if you picked up on even a fourth of what I've shared so far and what I'm trying to do today, your business could be soaring and your impact could be manyfold, and your fulfillment and passion and your spirit and your sense of confidence and certainty would be, I mean, as far as the business itself, I know you're certain about your ability to teach. Wouldn't you like to be even more certain about your future of your business and its ability to pay you the income you deserve and reach the community you care about? Anyhow,
Jay,
let me continue.
Can I hold your feet to the fire on something here?
Yeah, sure.
Can we deduce for everyone what, in most cases, the three most important functions would be for them? I mean,
Sure.
Okay.
I would say it's building out and sustaining a strategy that is marketing impactable. It would be having a constant array of time to engineer new and continuous. Remember I said the companies in every form of endeavor that grew, sustained, were the leaders in their field, were the ones that engineered the maximum quantity, quality, and continuous array of breakthroughs in marketing, strategy, innovation, and management.
Okay.
It would be leveraging yourself,
mm-hmm.
and it would be having the systems in place that kept bringing people in as a prospect, continuously advancing, enhancing, and progressing them and their contacts forever, and it would be basically being a strategic marketer. Does that make sense?
So the list is really marketing, staff development, and selling.
It would be marketing, staff development, and selling systems.
Selling systems.
Because now it's getting the leverage. Now, you can leverage yourself different ways. You selling one-on-one probably isn't, if you start building this up, the highest and best use. You selling one-on-one, codifying, systematizing, blueprinting your presentation, and then making sure it was replicated by either disciplined, ongoing process training, which I'll get into in a minute, or having you on videotape or doing group selling, not unlike, might be better. You got to test because maybe you don't have that much activity that is worth it, but you setting up all the marketing, you being leveraged in the community, you being interviewed on radio, you writing an article or having someone write an article under your pen name, you having you overseeing teams that get out and set up endorsements, strategic alliances, you having teams that set up charitable events, you having teams that set up media challenges, you having teams that go out and gift trainings and classes, not just preview classes, but long-term ones to key influencers who could be able to refer to you tons. That, to me, is about 1,000 times more leverage, doesn't that? You having time to orchestrate the turnkey, ongoing selling system and strategy, you having the time to constantly coming up with new improvements and testing those against, because when you do that, there's a concept called constant, never-ending improvement. If every time you've got a successful system in place, you could every month come up with one new improvement as you become more proficient that gives you 10% more front-end response, 15% more close, 8% higher unit of sale, 20% more secondary and ancillary revenue. That investment of your time may add $40,000 more a year each time you do it to your ultimate income. And if you ever want to sell the business, a business is only sellable if it's got systematic, ongoing, replicatable programs. There's a book, if you've never read it, you should read. He's a friend of mine. He does a little marketing, but his name is Michael Gerber. He's got a book called The E-Myth. His concept is very simple. Most people work in the business. You need to work on the business. His analogy is if you went to McDonald's in Harlem or you went to McDonald's in Beverly Hills, the external facilities might be different, but the process, the procedures, the consistency is pretty much the same. You got to build your business the same way if you want it to be a business and not just a fatiguing, horribly underperforming remnant of what it could be. And there's another side of it. It's a benevolent side, and that is if you end up keep doing it this way, when you're tired, you can never build anything that can work for you. The key in business, whether you do it for the money or you do it for the freedom to impact the maximum number of people, the maximum leverageable ways possible, either your business works harder for you or you end up working harder every year for it. It's either or, Rob.
Jay, there was one critical component that we left off of our list, and I want to add that in for our listeners, and that is retention. Okay, so it'd be marketing.
Well, that's part of the system that I was talking about.
Okay.
Your system's got to be a birth to death. Your system's got to be so turnkey that it's got the maximum ways, not way, of bringing in prospects, leads from many different sources for many different reasons, hot buttons, topics. Then you've got to have a sequential conversion process where the first round you close maybe half the people. The next round is where you close more. And as I said, if your marketing gets better, your closing rate will probably drop, frankly, if that makes sense. And the reason is not negative, it's positive. You're getting the people that are responding not because, but in spite of your advertising oftentimes. And that's not meant to be a disrespectful, it's just a clinical comment.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
Very interesting.
You know, you triple your leads, you might only have a third conversion, but it might double your numbers. And that's on the first stage. Then when you have the sequential follow-up system, you might get another third over the next year if you work it systematically, if you look at it as an investment, not as an expense. Your system also, after that, it takes them and it constantly contacts them. It's all part of the same system. You've got to be committed to reinvestment in human capital, which is the staff that gives you the leverage. Nobody is an island. If you try to do it all yourself, you're going to end up with a very dysfunctional and a very episodic and an enterprise that has absolutely no net worth, meaning if you stop, no one would buy it because it's all you.
Personality-driven business.
Now, you should have it to where you may never want to buy it, but wouldn't it be nice if you could sit for, and you told me this, and I thought that was horrible, that if a teacher left the school for 3 months, it would collapse?
Yeah, without a doubt.
I'm telling you this, and you're not going to do it overnight. It's a process, but you should be able to build that business so that it literally, I'm going to give you a gift at the end, Rob, that'll blow your mind if time allows.
Okay.
If it doesn't, I'll give it to you in another form that you can send emails to them and explain it. But you need to build processes, procedures, and systems. I would say that when you're teaching your martial arts category, There is a process that you follow. There are very disciplined procedures, and there's a system and a progression, isn't there?
There is indeed.
Now, what in the world would have you believe that any other element of life is any different? I forgot I was going to start this day and say, Rob, let's look at the average person in life. He or she gets up in the morning, and they either have breakfast or they either go to the bathroom and do their deed. They have breakfast. They take a shower. They get dressed. Isn't that right?
So far, you left out the coffee, Jay.
And they have the coffee or the juice. And they get in either their car or on their bike or on the bus, or if they live above or in the back of their studio up front, and they start to work, right?
Correct.
And their work may be a workout before, but they have a disciplined system sequence. You wouldn't get up in the morning, not get dressed, not, you know, take a shower, not go to the bathroom, you know, go walking out with a bladder ready to burst and your areas that shouldn't be exposed and your hair unkempt, and expect to accomplish much in your day, would you?
I don't usually do that, Jay.
But that's pretty much what a lot of people in small businesses and, frankly, a lot of people that I've examined in your field tend to do unintentionally and unknowingly.
Mm-hmm.
Just impose the same rules, the same beliefs, the same strategies, the same fundamentals you do in teaching to your own business, and you're going to have a stratospheric growth.